Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
There we go. Ooh, candy, candy, candy. No, every year around like January, February, when it gets really cold, my wife goes, you should take the kids ice skating. And I'm like, I don't know how to ice skate. We have this fucking conversation every year. And she's like, how do you not know how to ice skate? I go, Diane, you grew up in a town, a rich ass town that has an ice skating rink in the high school. Like, where I grew up, we didn't have that.
I don't think I've ever seen an ice skate, to be honest with you. Like, in my life, I don't think I've ever seen an actual ice skate in person.
Oh, no. I've tried a couple times, and I'm okay with it, but I'm not, like, I'm more of, I was always, like, I always did the inline skating in the 90s. I was a pretty aggressive inline skater.
I liked regular roller skates.
I was tired. When you wear your little short shirts, go down.
I'd be like, I'll get a little pair of roller skates. I've got a brand new thing. That was me.
I could see you doing that. Little lollipop in your hand going around.
Oh, it's a giant oversized lollipop.
Oh, giant oversized. Okay. It's my little sailor suit.
It's my big lolly.
Yeah. And then she gets mad at me when I yell at her because I'm like, Diana, we've been married for 10 years. And every year I have to have this conversation with you that I don't know how to ice skate. I've went like ice skating twice in my life and I'm terrible at it.
I like it.
Yeah, I'll take her to the roller rink. I got no problem doing that. Listen to some, you know, I'm assuming 90s music because that's what always played at the roller rink. Some, you know, like some Third Eye Blind or some Goo Goo Dolls, something like that. You know, we'll be okay with that. Ugh. So, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host Joe. With me as always is Steve.
Hello.
We're gonna eat some what nationality is this? Do you know?
Swedish.
Some Swedish candy. What are these called? These are the Bilar.
Bilar. Bilar. They're little cars.
Bilar?
They're awful.
These are little cars. Who sent this to us, by the way? Was it Jeff?
Jens Tariff.
Oh, Jens.
Jens Tariff.
Jens Tariff.
I know it's probably Jens, but
Jens.
It's spelled with a J. J's are said J. There's no Y.
Now mit iodine.
It's jalapenos, okay?
Jalapenos. Oh, these look terrible.
They're awful. They're one of the grossest things I've ever had.
Is original the same in both languages? Like the word original?
Probably. There's a lot of language. There's like a lot of words that cross over.
I like how it says tradition sedan. Like these are like sedan cars. Let me try this one. I'm gonna try a pink one.
Yeah, you can give it a go.
That's not bad.
I thought they were awful.
They kind of taste like Swedish fish.
I thought they were awful. But these are gonna be exactly like Swedish fish. These, I am sure. The Ferrari.
Holy crap! I just got the aftertaste. Yeah, of these. That's what's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, that tastes medicinal.
Yeah, it's awful.
All right, what's this one? Ferraro.
This is no Ferrari. They're little cars.
Okay, yeah.
They're little Ferrari cars.
Holland smack!
I think that those are going to be exactly like Swedish fish.
All right. Vingummi med Holland smack. Oh, let's see. Let's try this. Okay, it's a little race car. It's a little Ferrari race car. Oh my god, these are like harder than dirt. I'm gonna sit on this one for a little bit and let it warm up. Because that's what I do with Swedish fish. Like when you get the old Swedish fish that are too hard, you just gotta heat them up, and then they're good. Like Swedish fish need to be slightly above room temperature to be good.
Never heard of such a thing.
It's true. Like it's something I discovered. Let me. Oh my god, this is like. You guys legit eat this for like. Maybe that's why they're all thin.
Yeah.
Because they have shitty candy.
Their candy's awful. Well, I mean, American candy sucks too, but...
I don't know. I like a lot of American candy.
American candy's awful. But you can get a lot of good treats in America that is not American candy. Like, here, do you want the Plop bar?
Plop.
It's Plop with two P's.
Oh, it's milk chocolate with soft toffee filling. This can't be that bad. It's Utz certified.
Plop.
Plop. I mean, it's like the least appealing candy name of all time.
Oh, yeah. No one wanted it because it was called Plop.
I'm sure it means something else in Swedish.
Oh, no, it's Plop.
You don't know that. Let's see. Well, they look decent. Ooh.
I mean, it's chocolate, so it can't be that bad. Like, unless the filling is something bizarre. I think it's chocolate filled with toffee, so, like, it can't be that bad.
No, that's pretty good. That washes the taste of the Bylar out.
Yeah, the Bylar and the Ferrari.
The Ferrari didn't taste like anything. It just tasted like plastic.
All right, well, here's a Tutti Frutti.
Okay, maybe I'll maybe eat some of these in a little bit.
And Zoo. You can take those. Those are little gummy things, basically. And then these, the charcoal briquettes are...
Oh, I don't know if I can eat these.
Those are licorice.
I can't eat licorice. Then
you're not going to...
These are like hard as rocks.
Yeah, they're hard. They're charcoal briquette hard candy, so they're going to taste like... They're going to be licorice hard candy, so don't eat them.
I'm disgusted by this, Steve. My wife would like this because my wife likes old people candy.
Well, then take it.
Yeah. She's always the person who's like, you know what I like? Mary Janes. And I'm like, no one likes Mary Janes.
What's the other one?
Cowtails?
No, the bee one. Honey.
Oh, Bitto Honey.
Bitto Honey, yes. Bitto Honey. The things that annihilate your teeth.
Oh, Bitto Honeys are terrible. I always like a honey-based candy. It's like, why? Why at this point? We have access to all this better stuff to make candy out of that we have to eat this old ass candy. Tootsie Rolls are by far the worst candy known to mankind.
They're pretty bad. Like, I know Tootsie Pops usually you just eat until you get to the center and throw it away.
Well, Tootsie Pops are different than Tootsie Rolls, though. The Tootsie Roll, you know, the hard ass Tootsie Roll. Did you know that at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day, they take the old batch of Tootsie Roll and they put it in the new batch? Like, that's part of their thing. So, hypothetically, there's particles of Tootsie Roll that could have been from, like, the 1905, whenever they originally made those, in the current Tootsie Roll you are eating.
Mm. That's gross.
And when you think about it, kind of gross. I mean, like, I know some people are like, ah, that's very traditional. No, it's fucking terrible. Terrible. All right. I think I'm done with the candy for right now. I may eat a little bit more of this Plop. So that's pretty good.
The Plop bar is all yours.
The Plop bar is pretty decent. I'm going to give it that.
Plop.
I think it's because the soft toffee on the inside kind of plops out.
Plop.
Sorry to make you guys listen to what I'm eating on cast. I know that's always disgusting.
Oh, I'm sure everyone is very thrilled. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. And I'm disgusted with the audience.
All right. So we can get to some gaming stuff in a little bit. Steve saw The Last Jedi.
I did.
Steve, what are your opinions on Star Wars, The Last Jedi?
I thought it was great. It was really good.
All you haters out there.
It's probably my favorite Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's $10. Go see a Star Wars.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite Star Wars. No joke.
It that much?
I don't know.
It was the big milk titties, right?
That was awesome. But, but like, I don't know. It was like, I thought it was super cynical.
It was really cynical.
I don't know. Like, some people were complaining that, like, it wasn't dark enough. And I'm like, that movie was the darkest Star Wars ever. Like,
it was so dark.
Everything was awful.
It
like,
was dank.
Like, yeah. Like, it was, like, the darkest Star Wars movie ever. Like, all of your heroes are shit. Like, that was the best thing about that movie. Is, like, the message of that film is all of your heroes are garbage.
Yeah.
You are not special. That's what that movie was. Like, fucking, how could you not, like, I see so many, like, neckbeards, like, shitting on the movie. And I'm like, how could you not, like, that movie. That movie is your worldview. Like, the movie is your worldview. It's like, no one is special. Heroes are shit. Like, how could you not like that movie? I thought it was fucking phenomenal. I thought it was great. I thought the fights were good. I didn't realize it was so long until we got out of the movie theater, and I was like, holy shit, that movie was almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And it did not drag at all for me.
I think I went into it knowing it was 2.5 hours, so I was like, this is too long.
I had no idea.
If you don't go in knowing that, you probably wouldn't feel
it. Yeah, no,
much.
it was great. I thought the action was fucking great. The characters were super cool. I don't know, dude. I thought it was an awesome movie.
You like Kylo Ren now all of a sudden?
They made him not shitty. Like, they actually...
Because you hated Kylo Ren.
Oh, I hated him. They actually, like, this movie, like, he did like a
do you understand now shirtless Kylo Ren memes?
Oh, it's great. He did like a face turn. Like, he that's not the right term, but like he turned it around. Like, his character turned around for me in this movie. Like,
yeah.
I think it was like when Snoke like was like shit, like, take off that stupid helmet. That was awesome. And then he
behind a mask.
And then he fucking destroys the helmet. Like, yeah. That movie, I very much enjoyed it. Like, yeah. And believe me, I went in expecting to be like, I bet this movie sucks. It did not suck. It was awesome.
How'd you feel about Space Leia?
I thought that was cool. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I did not expect that, actually. I was just like, damn.
I know. I didn't want to spoil that for you because I thought that you might find that hysterical. I laughed out loud in the theater, and I was like one of the few people like in the theater. Like everyone else was like, and I was just like,
wizards.
Wizards.
Well, I mean, they're space wizards. So
I mean, people are like, I never knew Leia could use the Force. I'm like, have you not read any book ever
not even
written
that, like at the at the in Return of the Jedi, they're just like, Yoda's like, there is another.
Yeah, like we all know that she's
ability. She's got Force powers.
She's got the Force.
Yeah, she's the Force.
Yeah,
there's the Force. The Force.
Did you like the use of the hyperdrive to destroy the Star Destroyer?
Oh, that was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, when you mentioned that at the last podcast, like, you just got to strap a hyperdrive on there, asteroids. Game over.
Yeah. You strap hyperdrive to asteroids and shoot them into planets.
Well, I mean, and I'm like sitting there going like, it took them this long to figure out that, like, that's how you destroy the spaceships? Like, you had two other ships that you could have done that with, and you just let them run out of fuel and get destroyed, you jackasses. I think it's because, like, the amount of energy because it caused all of those Star Destroyers to get destroyed, right. So it probably would have wrecked some other stuff as well.
Yeah, it probably would have hurt the other parts of the fleet as well.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking at that.
With Debris, space Debris.
Space Debris. Yeah, the killing of Snoke, you didn't mind?
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was badass.
Yeah.
I thought that was very well done.
Yeah.
I liked how he was describing what was going to happen, and it was like, yeah, it is going to happen like that.
Yeah.
To you.
To you. Yeah.
I thought that was fucking cool.
No, my favorite part about it was, I like that it was the anti-Empire Strikes Back, because, you know, everyone's big complaint about The Force Awakens was, it's just like your New Hope. It's exactly the same as a New Hope, which it was. I get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But Empire was exactly, The Last Jedi was exactly the same as Empire, but it took everything that happened in Empire and flipped it. So it's like, oh, you know, Rey's going to go get trained by this ancient Jedi Master. And the Jedi Master's like, no, I'm not fucking training you.
Get the hell out of here.
Get the hell out of here, you damn wiener kid. You
fucking wiener kid.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we're going to go get help from this rogue guy, from this ne'er-do-well. And it's like, oh, that's just like Lando.
He was amazing.
And then he comes, oh, with that terrible stutter.
Oh, it was so good.
He made choices, Steve. That's all that matters. He made an acting choice. It might not have been the best acting choice, but he made a choice.
I thought it was awesome. Yeah. I thought he was great.
Well, and everyone's like, oh, he's going to be like Lando. No, just kind of a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. I cynical fucking worldview. Like, he was a super cynical character, and it's like that was another thing that was awesome. He's like, oh, they sell weapons to the bad guys, oh, and the good guys.
See, I thought that was stupid. I was like what a 14-year-old, like,
that was good.
It's such like a 14-year-old Reddit argument. Sorry, I'm eating plop as I'm arguing.
What, that arms dealers sell to everyone?
But I mean, it's like, we all know that.
Yeah,
it's like not like, or it's like some big revelation. Like,
I mean, it is still overall like a kid's movie.
Well, I know. Don't get me wrong. It's a little it's like a little nitpick. Like, I hate it. Like, when they're like I'm 14 and this is deep. Like, oh, all these rich people make money selling to the good guys and the bad guys. Dun dun dun. Yeah, we all fucking know that. At 36 years old, I get this at this point. And then, you know, with the whole, like, Luke, I am your father, they get to that point in the movie where they're going to make the big reveal on Rey's parentage, and he's like, your parents were nobodies.
Yeah, which is awesome.
You're not part of this story.
Yeah, you know? You're not special.
You're not special.
Which is great.
Yeah, and that's, like, the stuff I liked. It was, like, it subverts it, and then all the fanboys get really angry about it. I think I like the movie more, and this is probably true for you, too. You like the movie more because people hate it so much.
No, that's the thing. I don't understand why they hate it. Like, I personally, my joy elevation going up when people are butthurt about stuff only works if I very much understand why they're butthurt. Like, because I don't understand what they're complaining about in this movie, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Their level of butthurt does not add to my elation. Now, when I do, like when The Hobbit. The things that the things that people complain about in The Hobbit they don't like that make them upset. Mm-hmm. I get why that makes them upset, and it makes me laugh, because I'm like ah, ha, 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 and then my joy goes up.
Okay,
but with the Star Wars, I legitimately don't understand what they're complaining about, because I didn't look at anything or like.
Well, they're legit complaining because people don't, because like the stuff that happened in the movie don't fit into the slots of what they expect the characters to be like. Luke wouldn't do that. Luke is the hero. Luke is the guy that's going to go fight the guys at the end. No, that's not what Luke would do. How do you fucking know what Luke would do?
I mean, I also did. I did like that it went that it followed the previous extended universe where it's like, yeah, Luke tried to make Jedi happen again.
Yeah,
and he fucked it up.
He fucked it up.
He fucked it up.
Well, that's the through line of all the Star Wars movies. It's just like it's really, you know, you're gonna fuck up training a Jedi. But yeah, and that's the other thing that people complain about is like at the end when they're on that salty planet. Like that was also a great like oh, people are gonna be so salty about this whole scene. They're so salty.
Yes,
but the. When Luke's there in the hologram, spoilers. I mean, I should have fucking said that at the beginning of this whole thing.
It's been
out for 6 weeks.
Put an insert before the thing.
Fuck that. I'll put it on the thing. I'm just gonna say spoilers. I'll just call the podcast spoilers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that way they know spoilers.
Nice. Good call.
Yeah. But like when Luke is the force projection at the end instead of like
that was fucking cool.
But then people are mad. How come Luke couldn't go to that planet and actually fight them? I go. Didn't you guys not pay attention to fucking Empire Strikes Back? What's the first thing that Yoda fucking says? It's like, wars don't make one great. No, that's exactly the point of it. It's like, you shouldn't want your hero, these guys, to go out and fight like that. Because that means that they failed.
Yes.
Yeah. But I did love that. I love that, the whole thing. I kind of like Mark Hamill's portrayal of Luke in the movie, too.
Oh, he was good. He was, like, bitter and old. He was very much upset about those power converters.
Yeah, he's very much... Like, as the older... I suppose if I was like this was if the prequels had been my original like what I watched originally and then I watched the original series, I suppose that I might be a little more upset that like how come I'm not jumping around going and but I'm old. I'm getting to my 40s right now. I shouldn't say I'm old because I'm sure there's some 40-year-olds listening to this going like that's not old.
Well, they're ancient.
Yeah, they're ancient. But I'm tired all the time. I get Luke. If I had some like young 20-something-year-old, like 18-year-old girl, like train me in the ways of the Force, I'd be like, no,
beat it,
get out of here. You know, it's like I just want to lay down for a little bit. Just let me lay down. You know, let me watch Diane Carroll on my Holovid, and I'll be okay with this whole thing.
What about B. Arthur?
Well, B. Arthur was the bartender. Diane Carroll. I think that was Diane Carroll.
Didn't something recently happen that they said B. Arthur's canon?
There was some story or something like that where she ended up in canon now.
Like her specific character?
Yes.
That's awesome.
B. Arthur is canon.
Which makes sense. B. Arthur should be canon.
Yeah. The guy who does Rebels is like super, like, he knows his canon. I saw an interview with him. He's like, he's fucking, like, he could name, like, every single fucking thing that was ever in the extended universe. Like, he is that knowledgeable on Star Wars. Like, it's pretty impressive, but I mean, still,
you know,
a lot of those
what
books
it's like
were terrible.
To be a man bot living in a man pewters or man.
A fembot.
Fembot living in a man bot man pewters world.
Yeah, the B. Arthur is canon now. If only they could bring her back in CG form. But that's another thing that kind of pissed me off. The only thing that really pissed me off. The whole casino planet thing with all of like the, you know, animal abuse is bad. We know animal abuse is bad. Once again, I'm 14 and this is deep. We get it. Animal abuse bad. But that whole planet sequence, it was like if they cut that out of the movie, it probably would have been a lot quicker. Like it felt super long. Like it felt like the pod race scene. Like when they're riding the fucking horses, I'm like, this is pod racing.
I would say it was a little different because it was a little more entertaining than the pod race scene.
No way. Didn't you like Sebulba?
Sebulba. Oh God. Fuck it, the prequels are so bad.
Yeah. It's like when Obi-Wan Kenobi says, only Imperial Blasters are this precise. You know, it's like, no, you see the fucking sand people on the fucking, like, sniping the fucking pod racing. Like, Obi-Wan, you don't fucking know anything.
Yeah, well, I think that's the point. I think Obi-Wan was actually just a crazy old dude
in
the desert at that point.
Like, people, like, idolize Obi-Wan. No, Obi-Wan was a really, really shitty Jedi. He was a shitty Jedi master at training. He was a shitty friend to Anakin.
Yeah, Obi-Wan was a terrible character.
He's a terrible person. He's a terrible hermit. Like, I'm watching over Luke. Like, no, you're not, because, you know, Luke is kind of a shitty person.
Yeah, I would the only thing that could have made that movie better is if at the end before when Luke becomes a Force Ghost, if he was just like, I really wish I would have got those power converters. converters. It's like
you love the power converters.
The power converters line is really good.
I like when Yoda showed up. That was the best part.
That was awesome. Yeah. I was super happy that they used the puppet. It looked real.
He just called on the lightning.
Yeah, it was great. He just like blows up. He's like,
the sacred text.
Yeah.
That's another favorite meme text. That's come out of it. No, the sacred text.
Page turners. They were not.
Well, it's because like, I suppose it's just because it's been so long since I've seen Mark Hamill actually act in anything, like as Luke, mm-hmm. that I don't realize how much of like the Joker is actually in his normal voice. So it's like I hear stuff like that, yeah. and I hear the Joker now.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that pissed me off, what was it? Fuck, I can't think of it right now. It'll come to me in a little bit. But yeah, the whole casino thing. Oh, I know what pissed me off was at the end when they had Laura Dern's character be the one in the ship. I'm like,
that should have absolutely been Leia.
Absolutely. I know. I love the idea of subverting expectations with this movie, and it's a great theme with it. But it's like, I know this is how it originally was probably filmed and everything like that, which is great. It's fine. But with circumstances as they are, they could have done something with CG and, you know, done it that way.
Yes.
That's kind of how I feel on that one.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that entirely.
Yeah, because, I mean, it would have been really cool to have Leia do that, and you're like, farewell, Carrie Fisher. I hope you're doing coke off John Belushi's dick in heaven.
I'm sure.
Yeah. She did a lot of cocaine. She did so much cocaine that John Belushi told her to slow down. And John Belushi died of cocaine.
Technically, it was speedball, but yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, it has cocaine and heroin and a couple other things in there. I mean, like, let's face it. They did so much cocaine, and they probably got so much of it for free. You really got to up the game.
I think they got it all for free.
I'm sure they paid for it. I mean,
well, no, I'm sure someone paid for it, but I believe they got it for free. If you know
maybe,
what I'm saying.
Maybe. I know there was cocaine was built into the budget of Blues Brothers.
That's awesome.
All right, I'm going to try one of these zoos. Now, Jens, are these supposed to be gummy? Because these are as hard as rocks.
That's good.
Ingredients are soccer, hash, sugar. I think that's sugar.
Yeah.
Glucose syrup. I'm sure that's like corn syrup. Gelatin. Ooh, it's good to know that's in both languages. Vand. What's vand? Vand syrup.
Syrup, probably. I don't know.
Vegetable oil, looks like.
Yeah, vegetable syrup.
Oh, these are pretty bad. Oh my god, it's like stuck to my tooth. These things are like tooth cancer.
This is a great podcast.
Now you know why you never hear the term, why you never hear the phrase, we should go to the Swedish candy store.
Hey, to be fair, the plop seemed to have got your...
Yeah, the plop was good, but the plop was just chocolate and toffee. It's like...
Well, I mean, there is no equivalent to that in America. There's
We use caramel.
Yeah, there's no... And you know what, to be honest, a toffee bar sounds pretty good.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of hard toffee
here. I want a plop.
You want a plop?
I want a plop. I want to be able to get plop. Why can't I have plop?
Because the name is terrible.
It'd be pretty hard sell. Let me get three cases of plop bars.
Yeah. You might as well just call it like poop sploosh. All right, let's get into some gaming stuff. We've already talked for a good 25 minutes on Star Wars.
About Star Wars.
About Star Wars and plop.
James is probably like clutching his chest right now. Just like,
Well, I think he's probably upset that like you like it so much.
I hated Last Jedi, so. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, yeah. So the new one, whatever comes out, it could go either way. It's so far,
we're at a coin toss now.
Yeah. It's 50-50 whether it's good or bad. But it doesn't mean like it's going to be like the last Star Wars movie. Like these movies are going to keep on going.
Oh, they're
going
to make these forever.
Forever.
Like, just wait until they have the Marvel Star Wars crossovers. That's going to happen.
Oh, God.
You know that's going to happen. Yeah. There's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy Star Wars. I guarantee it. At some point, there will be a Star Wars Marvel crossover.
You know, I don't think anything like that will happen until Kathleen Kennedy's dead. And Kathleen Kennedy is not that old. Kathleen Kennedy's only in her 60s. Ugh. I thought she was way older, but it turns out like she's only like a couple years older than my parents. And I'm like, oh, she's going to be around for a while. This is, Star Wars is going to be pretty much what it is now for probably the next 10 to 15 years. So only one of two things can happen. Kathleen Kennedy dies, Or somehow she gets ousted from that whole division, which could happen as well.
Hmm. They're going to have a very big box office catastrophe for anyone to get ousted, though.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what's looking like was going to happen with Han Solo, because the Han Solo movie is supposed to come out in 4 months, and I haven't seen anything for it.
Didn't they, like, reshoot that whole fucking movie?
They reshot a bunch of it, because the original directors, the guys who did the Lego movie and 21 Jump Street, were fired off of it.
Yeah,
because
weren't they making it, like, a comedy?
Yeah, like, and they were like, we have want none of this. We're going to get the least funny man on the planet. We're getting Ron Howard, director of Willow. That box office hit.
I love Willow.
I love it, too. Don't get me wrong.
A Daikini baby.
Willow is a great story directed very poorly. It has a lot. It has every element to be successful, except for the fact that it is directed boring as shit. It is the most boring movie in the world.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but it couldn't have been that boring because I loved it as a kid. And kids do not sit through boring movies.
Mm.
There must be enough going on.
They're kind of...
I was a patient kid, but still.
It takes them like 30 to 40 minutes to meet Mad Mardigan, man. It takes a long ass time. I mean, you got to do the whole like...
The music's great.
Oh, it's James Horner. It's fantastic. But it's the whole like baby getting down the river as they're doing like the opening credits, like Willow, starring Warwick Davis and Joanne Whalley and Val Kilmer. You know, and Val Kilmer's great in it too. But it takes them a long ass time. They go to the village, and then like that whole village party scene goes on a little long. And it's like, you could have made some great cuts here, Ron, and this could have been a really tight movie, a tight fantasy movie, but it's just really, really boring. There's some great, like, Willow has some fantastic, memorable scenes in it, like, just, like, that are ingrained in my mind. The whole castle versus a two-headed dragon,
mm-hmm.
Ebor Sisk.
The trolls,
that's the same, yeah. And, like, the everyone turning into pigs, like, oh, it's just, and the wizard battle with the two old ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So brutal. So much, in many ways... better than the Gandalf Saruman fight.
And that fucking skullhead dude.
Oh yeah, General Kale. That
guy was sweet.
Yeah. He was named after Pauline Kael, the movie critic. Just like Ebor Sisk was named after Siskel and Ebert, the two-headed dragon.
All right then.
I did not know that. The brownies and the magic wand and the acorns that turn things
to
shit.
I got the baby.
I have the baby. We go this way.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah. That's an example of a movie that should be remade. Like it's good and it has good enough parts in it, and it wasn't successful. So that's a movie that you like. We could take this plot and we can make it better. We have the technology now. We don't have to rely on the little people.
You're just trying to cut out work for small people.
I know. I'm a terrible person.
You're heightist.
I'm a heightist. Well, I am 5 foot. Oh, 11 at this point.
You're a heightist.
I used to be 6 foot. Spine crushed. Lost an inch.
Heightist.
It's like that's a movie that should fucking be remade. Let's just talk about some gaming stuff. Ooh, this is a little monkey one. That's what this is. A little monkey in the zoo. I'm going to suck on this. If you suck on them, it makes them a little better.
Okay.
Because it warms them up and they get a little more jelly.
I see.
As opposed to like the rock, like tooth crushing. Attitude with it. Got a chance to look at some of the rules for the Nurgle releases. Some of the Magikin have been released. I guess this week is dropping the Great and Clean one. Steve, by the way, bought 3.
I'm a sucker.
He's a sucker. You get the Spoilpox Scrivener.
Yes, I think.
Yeah, he comes out this week.
Yeah, his ability is pretty good. He lets you reroll ones. If any Plague Bearer units are within 7 of him,
yeah.
They can reroll ones to charge, and then they also reroll ones to hit.
Yes.
I believe, which is pretty strong.
That is pretty strong. He's a decent add on that one. And he also, if you, he's got like a 5+ like invuln save.
Yeah, that's standard across the board for Nurgle guys.
Is it?
Yeah, all the Nurgle demons have that.
The disgustingly resilient. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got 5 wounds, 4+ save, 10 bravery. He's kind of brute. He's kind of a brute. Got D6 attacks, which could give or take for a missile weapon. And then a melee weapon, he's got 2 attacks. 3, 4, 1, 2. It's the same as...
Yeah, well, the missile attack's nice because he can follow behind Plague Bearers and shoot into combat
yeah.
while they're fighting.
The Great Unclean one...
I saw no changes for the Great and Clean one.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was changed at all that much.
But the weird thing is that there's different equipment options for the Great and Clean one, so I believe that that is not actually an updated card. I think they just updated the art.
You think so?
Well,
they released Rodigus.
They released Rodigus, but there's equipment options for a regular Great and Clean one. There's one where he has a bell and something else, and the standard equip line says he's got the sword and the flail. So obviously that bell can't be the one with the sword and the flail. So there's got to be something else going on there.
We'll see. It might just be for aesthetics. You might always have to roll it as what it has.
That is possible, but I don't think so. That would be very out of character for GW. Like they're usually quite insistent on giving every like bit rules.
Deluge of Nurgle has a casting value of 7. If successfully cast, roll 7 dice.
Ooh!
For each roll that equals or beats the Deluge of Nurgle value shown on the devil's tail, you could pick an enemy unit that is visible to the cat. That's and suffers D3 wounds. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's good.
So you could hypothetically affect like 7 different enemy units. Can you affect more, let's say you rolled 3 dice that made it. Could you affect it on 1 unit, or does it have to be 3 different units?
Read it.
For each roll that equals or beats the Deluge of Nurgle value shown on the damage table above, you can pick an enemy unit that is visible to the caster. That unit suffers D3.
Rules as written, I believe you would have to pick different units, but it's vague enough that they're going to need an FAQ.
Okay.
Because, it would be I'll just pick this unit 6 times. It sounds like you have to pick multiple units to me. Like, the spirit of that rule is definitely, you have to pick, units that are within range, visible.
Yeah, James yelled at us. He said we're focusing too much on Age of Sigmar. So let's talk about some 40K.
No.
They just...
I don't want to talk about 40K.
I read through 8th edition for the first time, which I'm kind of upset. I think that GW did kind of a pussy move with 8th edition. No, I shouldn't say pussy move. That's old school. That's I don't think that's appropriate anymore. I think they wussed out. How about that? That make it a little better?
Wussed out.
They wussed out. First of all, they should have changed it. They should have called it the Age of Marnius Cool Guy. I think that's what it should have been. Or the Age of Guliman. It's too much like 3rd edition with flyers. I feel like they had an opportunity to make things more streamlined. They could have made the stat line a little bit more like Age of Sigmar, and they chose not to. They chose to stick with the whole WSBS,
I don't know. I didn't take as much offense to it as you did. But I was never a big 40K guy, so.
Well, I mean, I've never been either, but that's because I always felt like it played a little bit more like it played like fantasy, and I already played fantasy, so what's the point in playing both fantasy and 40K? In my opinion, it's like, oh, well, one has coherency, the other one doesn't. You know, it's like that's stupid. But now there's the opportunity. Now they're very different games. I suppose if they had made it more like Age of Sigmar, it would have just been Age of Sigmar with guns.
Right. Yeah. It probably makes sense to keep the games to have some reason to have an option between the two games.
Yeah. Well, one has big armored guys.
You know, those monsters.
The other has big armored guys with guns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was thinking tanks versus monsters, but you sure?
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's nearly enough the same on that. But thanks for yawning during the podcast. We're recording early,
I'm gonna take a nap.
See, you're like Luke. He's like,
I'm gonna squeeze some milk out of a big walrus titty and then suck it down and take a nap.
Walrus titties. Best moment in Star Wars history.
It's super good.
I don't care what anybody says. Good.
When he just chugs, he's like,
he just looks face. At her like, yeah. Alpha move. Power move.
The real power move was Mark Hamill sharing that picture on his Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he gets it. I think, I think Rian Johnson, the writer-director of that movie, understood, this is going to be fucking weird and it's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah. They knew what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing.
They knew that was going to be a meme. They knew.
Oh, my God. They're purposely...
And Disney released a high-res screen cap of Kylo Ren with his shirt off.
Yes, he did.
They specifically did that because they were sick of people sharing that shitty low-res one. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like we're getting to the point where they're purposely creating are memes, or they're responding, or they're creating,
they're adapting.
No, either they're meme creating is what they're doing. They're putting these things in the movies.
They've adapted.
I don't think the shirtless Kylo Ren would have necessarily been like, they were like, this will be meme worth. No, they just like, he was like the huge ass body. Well, in the low res, it looks,
yeah, he looks gigantic in the low res,
which is funny. But definitely the walrus boob was like, this is going to be a meme.
Yeah.
This is going to be a meme.
They knew.
But yeah, so I, in my own, so they, oh yeah, 40K, they released the Adeptus Custodes book or they're releasing the Adeptus Custodes book, and they're releasing something
Custodes!
Else. Aren't they releasing something else, like another book?
They're releasing a shit ton of books. Like, they're fucking hammering them out.
Well, they wanted to get them all out in 1 year.
Which is good. I think that's great. I think it's awesome. Like, that's so, that is, again, an adaptation change to that, like, actually listening to players. Like,
yeah,
that's fantastic. The fact that they're willing to just release codexes without having a bunch of extra models. Like, the fact that Games Workshop admitted that they were a games company have you seen their stock?
Has gone crazy, but
exploded in 2017.
Yeah, but that's a bubble. It's directly related to the 40K release.
Yeah, because they listened to people. Because they actually were like, oh, hey, we're gonna like, the difficulty of listening to your player base is you can't listen to everyone.
Yes.
But if you have someone who is wise enough to discern what the actual voice of the player base is versus, like, just, like, the white noise, then you can release things. Like, for example, listening to people when they say, it's not cool to have my army without a codex for fucking 5 years.
That's true, yeah.
Like being wise enough to hear that and go, like, you know what? That guy's right. We can release the books, get everyone happy, and then when we release the models, they'll still buy them.
Yeah.
Like, having the wisdom to do that is smart. You know, but listening to someone who's just like, I think Space Marines are stupid. Don't put them in the next edition. Like, not listening to that guy. That's key.
It should all be Imperial Guard.
It should only be Guard. How come the Guard aren't the primary heroes of the 40K universe?
Where's my plastic multi-part Deathcore Creed?
Where's the Greatcoat Sprue? Why are you hiding the Greatcoat Sprue?
Creed! Exactly. Have you seen my Damocles? So February, you're going to have the Custodes and Thousand Sons. That's what it was.
Yes.
The Thousand Sons, of course, we're going to get our Magnus the One-Eye, Magnus.
Yeah, I mean, they might have, like, one or two new models for them, but, like, they're... Yeah,
well,
they
he's already got that out there.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, they had a pretty fleshed-out release.
Well, I know the Custodes already are getting a couple new plastics. They're getting a plastic jet bike.
Yeah.
I know that.
That cool fucking jet bike that looks like an eagle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, like, an update of the Forge World one. Yeah. It's going to be, like, almost as expensive, probably.
Custodes!
Did I talk about this on the last podcast about the exchange rate?
Oh, no, UK? You didn't.
Okay. So, the price of the Thousand Suns jet bike is what made me think of this, is that...
Because of the great and clean one.
So, I dug into this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's ever done this, but Games Workshop prices all of their exchange rate off the flat $1.65 exchange rate that was the U.S. dollar to the pound pre-Brexit, you know, pre-all of the nonsense that's happened over the last 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the Brexit happened over the summer last year, was it 2015 that they did it? It was before.
It was a while ago.
It was before.
It was before Trump.
Yeah. So it was 2016 they did it, which tanked the pound versus the dollar. Dang, well, okay, it did tank. It was 30
cents. It tanked
cents.
It fucking bad. Like, it's recovered since then, but, like, it was
not much. It only recovered, like, 10 cents, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it stopped going down. by recovered, I mean it stopped going down.
Yeah. So they priced it all off that. So the Great Unclean one right now is selling in the United States for, what is it? It's a buck.
$140. Yeah.
So they're selling that for $140. Every other greater demon sells for, like, what, $104, I think it is?
Yeah. I think the Bloodthirster's not that bad. I think Bloodthirster's $90, I think.
They're all about $100. Let's just say it at $100. So, but with the exchange rate as it is, it's actually cheaper to buy a Great Unclean one from a UK dealer and have it shipped to the United States than it is to buy in the United States.
That's so funny.
Well, I mean, you could buy it with the exact exchange rate as the U.S. dollar to British pound right now. It would actually come out, I think, to $1.08. So even standard shipping from the U.K. is not that expensive.
It's not. It's
I mean,
not
it's a little on the expense. It's going to cost you like $10
But if you're buying three Great and Clean ones.
Yeah. But so it's going to cost like 10, 15 bucks tops. So even if it's at $1.10, at 15, it's still cheaper than buying it in the U.S. stores by like $15. That's unacceptable at that point.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. You could say like, oh, with the exchange rate being as it is, you know, it's like a $5 to $10 difference. That's, you know, par for the course. It's going to be, you know, normal. But I mean, it's $35 cheaper. 35.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you buy yours from a UK dealer?
Maybe. There might be a reason I don't have them already.
It's because I texted you about that, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so the next month, February, is going to have the two new Shadespire warbands coming out.
Yeah, which I believe is Dwarves and Skaven.
Dwarves and Skaven. But the Dwarves haven't been previewed yet. Skaven's have been previewed.
Yeah, so I think the Dwarves are speculated. I don't know if they officially announced them.
Oh. All right, well, they released the Orcs and the Undead as a two-part wave. So they'll probably release the Skaven in that. And then they'll do the last wave, which will be the other Storm Boys and the other Khorne Boys is like the final wave of whatever this is. So let's see, the original wave came out in October.
Yes.
When did the two pack, was that November?
Was it 2 months after, I think?
Was it November or December? That's the question. I think it was November.
It was November.
So then it's December, January, February. So March, April. So probably around May, maybe they'll get the
give
last.
Or take.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd make sense. Let's see what else is coming out. Ooh, Codex Teao. And Codex Necron. And the Codex Necron are going to get released in March. Codex Arlequin? Is that supposed to be Harlequin?
Yeah.
And Drukhari. What's Drukhari? Is that Dark Elves?
I think it's Dark Elves.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's copyrightable. That's what it is.
Dark Eldar. Not Dark Elves. Dark Eldar.
Yeah. Same difference.
Then May says, box game? ? Ooh, what could that be? then Codex Space Wolves, that'd be fun. You think you're gonna get my Lemon Russ? Am I gonna get my Lemon Russ?
Oh, there'll be a Lemon. They're gonna use that old sprue once again.
They never had a Lemon Russ.
Yeah,
No. I'm talking the Primarch Lemon Russ.
Oh, the Primarch, not the tank.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Of course, Lemon Russ will finally be, and hopefully he's just the top half of a man with the bottom half of a Lemon Russ tank.
Ooh, I was gonna say the bottom half of a wolf, so he could be a wolf tar.
No, he's a tank tar.
I identify as a wolf tar, Steve.
He's a tank tar, so that's way cooler.
It's true, it is. Well, I know a lot of people were very upset that the Lion L. Johnson.
Is not a lion.
That Lionel Johnson didn't get a model when he was released. He was when the Dark Angels Codex was released. So
it'd be cool if he was just like a buff like Conan the Barbarian body with a lion's head.
Oh, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
It's
classic.
And then late April, it says big release for Aelfs. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think they're ever gonna release Aelfs.
I don't know, man. People really like them.
I know, but I think they're just building hype for it. And if they just build a hype for 8 years, it'll just imagine the hype at the end of 8 years, Steve.
their hearts will actually explode when they see the models. Like,
it's like Games Workshop comes out and they're doing the big open Games Day or Warhammer World open thing. And they're like, I know you've all been waiting for this release. Something that's been building for 8 years here at the studio.
It squats.
No, not even. It's like, you thought of all the races that we've forgotten. You thought of the high elves and the dark elves and the wood elves. You thought of the squats. And
squats.
The squats and the Bretonians and the Tomb Kings. Big release. And then they like pull it down and it's like, White Scars!
And it's just a Space Marine on a bike. It's just one.
And it's the same old Space Marine bike that they've had for 30 years.
But he's got a sword.
He has a sword!
But he's got a new sword.
Primaris Bikes, that's what it would be.
There we go, Primaris Bikers.
I tell you what, I just finished... I'm sorry, I'm eating another zoo. I just finished up 3,500 points of Sigmarines for Age of Sigmar.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I did it 2 months. It was a speed paint, like crazy speed paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm never going to paint a Primaris, period, because I'm done painting these 40 mil base figures. I don't ever need to do this again. This is bullshit.
My favorite thing with my response my favorite thing about that was your response to me going, "What are you gonna do with those?" And you're like, "Nothing,
nothing." What am I gonna do? Please, fucking games.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do anything with them.
Playing these games makes my gripes legitimate about them. I'd much rather have my gripes and anger be completely illegitimate for everything.
Just totally unfounded.
So like I could say like, no, I don't want to fucking play these games. Games are stupid.
You know what though? Like real talk, Shadespire is a really fucking good game.
I know, I played it.
Yeah, Shadespire is great.
I know I say that, but I do play a lot of these games. So I do kind of know what I'm doing. I'm actually going to Polar Vortexes this week, and I'm going to head out there after this. Just going to see what's going on. Check out some attorneys. Glad Hand.
Some attorneys?
Some of the attorneys.
Oh. I was like, well, you look for some attorneys?
Yeah.
At a Warhammer convention?
One of my biggest commission work I used to do was for an attorney.
All right, fair enough.
He worked downtown. He was like, he had his
Dune,
own...
Dune.
He has his own like law firm, like in one of the big buildings.
All right.
And my wife used to actually work across the street from him. So whenever I'd finish up one of his massive commissions, she'd just take it to work and exchange it like some sort of drug deal.
Nice. Did she do it in the parking lot? Like real hush hush,
like Deep Throat and fucking Watergate, all the president's men. Oh my Perfect. God! Feel how hard that.
I don't need to feel it. You just threw it at the table, and it sounded like it broke my table.
It's like it'll chip your tooth, man. Zoos.
The cars were the nastiest. Am I wrong? I actually tried one of the cars because I was like, "Oh, those look like they might be good." I fucked up by trying one of those cars.
The aftertaste was really nasty.
Horrible.
It's stuck in your throat. I'm gonna try one of these Tutti Frutti's.
Those are just orange.
Yeah. They're a little softer. They feel a little more jelly.
Oh, they're not as hard as the zoo.
this tastes like medicine.
Nice.
This tastes like orange NyQuil.
Oh, maybe it'll put you to sleep.
No, you know what it tastes like? It tastes like Pez.
Pez. Okay.
It tastes like Pez.
Well, I mean,
like
I hate
when
Pez.
You had an orange Pez.
Yeah, they're awful.
That's what it tastes like.
All right. Okay, well, then you can't shit on it too hard, because no. Pez is an American candy, and I know you love America for some reason.
America, land of free.
Yeah.
Home of breath. Wait, what's... And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I can't forget the men who died and gave their right to me. And I'm glad to stand up. Next to her and say something. I know something. I love this land. God bless the USA. That is like seriously like everything that's wrong with this country in one song form. And
absolutely.
I love it. I love that song because absolutely. It's so ridiculous.
Yep. It's absolutely absurd. Like that should be in the comedy section of anywhere.
But you know, there's a weird subgenre of music. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And it's basically like daddy-daughter dance songs.
That's fucked up, man.
It kind of is.
That whole, like, that's a whole southern, like, country thing. Like,
yeah.
like your first love is your dad. And I'm just like, that's only because the South, there's so many fathers fucking their daughters.
Roll Tide, Steve. Roll Tide. But yeah.
That shit's fucking creepy.
Like, it's weird.
I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. I just want it to go away. That's all I want.
It's not going to go away, though, because it's like, these are some fucked up things. Like,
well, if Idiocracy, as Idiocracy is becoming more and more true, I agree with you that it's not going to go away. It's going to get worse.
You don't want to vote for President Camacho?
I mean, the thing that's funny about Idiocracy is, like, that movie is actually, like, a very pro-eugenics film.
Yeah.
But, like, you kind of have to sit there and you have to think, like, man... That's really unethical, but also accurate. Fuck. Oh, no.
One of the things that I think is the funniest part about it is it's not just saying that, like, oh, like, these smart people are the better people. They're actually far worse than the dumb people because they're like, well, or, you know, we're not going to have that many kids and blah, blah, blah. And it's like they keep putting off having kids and you see how their genetics die off because they're the ones who should be having kids because they can teach the kids good lessons.
Yeah, responsible.
Yeah, responsible. But yet they're so self-centered in so many ways that they refuse to do it. I don't know. Part of my whole thing. I saw the movie in the theater. It was actually playing. I was like, oh man, Idiocracy's only in theaters already? Because it was like really weird release when it came out. And it was two blocks away from my house. I'm like, sweet.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Went and saw it over at the AMC Cantera. No longer there. All right, so
listen to me. Talk's all fucking stupid. Nobody understands what he's saying.
I like how they had the burger chain Fuddruckers that just turned into motherfuckers. Yeah. And it makes me laugh too because I'm like, ah, there's no more Fuddruckers out here. I love Fuddruckers.
There is still a Fuddruckers.
Is there?
There is still a Fuddruckers. It's in Downers Grove by the bunker. It still exists.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. That one's still there.
It is still there. It
the
is
one, the one that's the one that's down on down it, by.
It's by. It's by where.
It's like on 75th Street.
It's by Chamagaucha. It's by the Brazilian Steakhouse. Like if you
no,
drive,
that one's not there anymore.
It is still there. It is 100% still there. It is the only Fuddruckers that I know still exists.
I'm going to look this up right now.
Do it. Do it.
I'm still eating this one piece of Tutti Frutti, by the way.
Bat dance. Get the funk up. Bat dance. Do it.
There are four Fuddruckers in the Chicagoland area. And yes, it says say that the one that is in, that is by the Chamagoucha is still open.
Told you.
Yes, the one that's by on 75th Street does not look like it's open anymore.
Yeah, it's the only one that I know that still exists, that I knew still exists personally.
Ooh, there's one in Hoffman Estates.
Because I saw it was still open. I remember Fuddruckers being pretty okay.
I liked Fuddruckers.
Yeah, it's just a giant burger, build your own. Like,
yeah, exactly. I always like to have like a lot of pickles.
Yeah.
I love their pickles.
It doesn't
there.
Seem like a problem. Like, I don't know why they like what caused them to go out, you know? Like when you see chains like die and you're just like, okay, I know why that chain died or whatever. Like Fuddruckers wasn't that for me. I was just kind of like, huh, that's weird. Like, why I wonder why all these Fuddruckers closed.
Yeah.
Cause like when the Baker Square all closed, I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. People go there once a year to get pie, like for holidays. And otherwise it's like empty. Like, sure. That makes sense. Okay. I see why Baker Square.
Well, it's like you could go to Baker Square, which is just a high, I should even say high end. It's just a thinking man's Denny's is yeah. really what it is.
Yeah, was a thinking was. Man's Denny's. Denny's is still around.
Oh, Denny's is the worst. Denny's is like
but it's the only place you can get a Grand Slam. Or Moons Over Miami.
for our foreign listeners who aren't quite sure what a Denny's is, I'm sure you've heard of Waffle House.
It's an American diner.
Yeah, I'm sure they've heard of Waffle House. Like, Waffle House is one of those things that, like...
I think Waffle House is more obscure than Denny's.
No, because Waffle House is like...
Denny's has commercials on television. Waffle House does not.
But that's part of the thing that makes Waffle House so ubiquitous.
I
is like
Waffle House.
They're all over the place, right? Waffle Houses are the worst.
Yeah, they're
but
terrible.
Denny's is like a northern version of Waffle House.
And they're better.
Oh, Steve, that is awful, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, there's a fan. It'll disperse soon.
Yeah. My eyes are watering.
Joe's dying.
I'm going to get another plop. Or zoo, sorry. I'll cover it.
I'm murdering Joe.
It's fucking terrible.
He's turning green.
You know, and the thing is Steve says he eats healthier than me. That can't be healthy. That smell cannot be healthy.
That smell is from a very specific thing that I cheated on my diet with. Oh. Can you guess what it was?
Was it McDonald's?
It was White Castle.
Oh. That makes it even worse.
So, yes, you're right on that one.
Oh. I mean... I get gas too, but I never get it that bad.
From White, that's what White Castle does
to
me.
White Castle will do that to a lot of people. It does it to me every once in a while. I mean, but it's never that bad. Like I'll have like maybe one where my wife goes, "Oh, that's disgusting," but it's like never that bad.
Oh, White Castle in me is just like it annihilates my guts.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what I was saying. Noxious amnesia gas.
The best part is that was a little like. It was barely anything.
No, that's what makes it the worst. That's what makes the White Castle ones worse.
Yeah, that's good.
The worst. Let's see. Is there any other anything else we should talk about? Magic?
I want to see someone do a giant Land Raider. Like I saw a Land Raider on Twitter that was a Noise Marines and it was playing metal and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Yeah, it was a cool conversion. Like they put like a speaker boxes in it, and you know, it was playing metal. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, what I'd really like to see is someone do a giant Land Raider and make a little Smash Mouth band on it and just have it play. Somebody once told me
the world is gonna roll.
I want that
Maximum Ogre Drive.
I want that. I want that. Please, someone do that. And yes, if you could do like, if you could do like a Shrek somewhere on there,
do Shrek Marines. Just do them all like green,
just all of them
with like the ogre face on the shoulder pad. You know what I'm saying? You know what ogre face I'm talking about?
The mad ogre face.
The mad ogre face. And it's just and you could have like noise Marines playing like the
but they need to look like Smash Mouth.
Hey now, you're an all-star, get your game
and just, you know? just have an MP3 player in there and just have it nothing but Smash Mouth songs on repeat.
I gotta say though,
might as well be walking on the sun.
I gotta tell you, the Smash Mouth is right though. The years start coming and they don't start coming, they don't stop coming.
It's true. That's accurate. That's an accurate statement.
Yeah. Do we have any sort of gaming stuff that we got to talk about? D&D stuff, Magic stuff.
I mean, it's kind of old news, but that Xanthar's guidebook for D&D is the best-selling D&D book ever.
I think we talked about that.
Yeah. So there's that.
Xanthar's guide. Well, anyway. So just personal wise, two things have happened to me. One, I started book 3 of the Horus Heresy. Just so, for those out there to know. That I am at Galaxy in Flames. Only 40 more books to go till I finish off all the Horus Heresy.
Someone was saying some people who are familiar with the series says that you're going to get to one book and stop. That's what.
I might. I don't know. I read a lot of bad fiction.
I mean, I don't fucking know. I don't read.
My goal. Well, the one thing that I think bothers me the most about all of it is it's that. How have they done all this? Like, the first two books go so fast.
I don't know.
For, like, Horus becomes evil. Like, and he becomes, like, comically evil.
I imagine that they just do, like, lots of, like, very in-depth, like, bits about, like, what's happening on this planet now.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah. That's what it is. But it's. I think that Workshop is. Like, they had those writers hamstrung by, like, no, you have to follow what was written in the 1980s by Rick Priestley. You know, when he was making stupid jokes.
But he was on cocaine.
He wasn't on cocaine. He was making stupid fucking jokes.
Yeah.
The fact that we don't have a Doctor Who chapter of the Space Marines
is beyond me. Isn't there, like, a character named after Margaret Thatcher or something?
Yeah, probably.
I think Thraka. I don't know. I saw something.
Gazag Mag Uruk Thraka.
I think that was Margaret Thatcher.
Gazagthal.
Yeah, because if you reorganize the letters, it spells Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
There was someone.
They hate Margaret Thatcher.
Well, I mean, the original. If you read the original fiction stuff, like that is all about how like imperialism is bad and like fascism leads to death and like like it's bad things. But like somehow like that has turned into people going like, ooh, Nazis are cool.
Yeah. Look at the American political landscape, Steve. It was all predicted by Rick Priestley in the 1980s.
40K is coming true.
40K is coming true. We are living not in the grim dark future, we are living in the grim dark present.
Finally.
Where's
my bolter?
Steve, get on the battlefield.
Nah.
You're in the guard now.
Nah.
Fricadia.
Nah.
For Canadia. They're really hamstrung by it. Because you're reading this, like, the dark, like, you know, it's like, we have to wait and turn the Legion's traitor. The Legions of Sanguinius. And Rogaldorn. It's like these names are so stupid. The Guilliman. No, it's the Guilliman or whatever. It's like
Reboot Guilliman.
Yeah. To get over the fact that the guy's name is Lion L. Johnson, they call him the Lion to make it look soundly better. Like, no, his name is Lion L. Johnson.
Yeah, he's named after a train company.
Yeah. It's so stupid. Like, don't hamstring yourself with this. Just rewrite it. Like, at some point, Dan Abnett had to look at whoever's in charge of like Black Library and GW and just go, no, I'm not writing that. It's fucking stupid.
I'm not doing this anymore.
I'm not writing. You know, like he comes up with some cool.
Fine, Abnett. Write more about the guard then. Freem. Bolter. Dan Abnett.
And the other thing that's going on personally is I'm selling a shit ton of my stuff on eBay. I've sold about $3,000 worth of stuff, and I haven't even made that big of a dent in my collection, which is the sad thing, which is why I'm constantly selling. It's like, I actually sold some Warmaster stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. I've liquidated all of the Lord of the Rings stuff that I own.
Nice. Oh, that Lord of the Rings stuff did sell, the ones I bought at the
Yeah, well, of course it did. That
at the
stuff
auction
would sell, yeah.
And stripped, yes.
Yeah.
was a successful transaction.
I've sold all my Lord of the Rings stuff and all that stuff, but in going through some of the old boxes, like the vault of stuff, I came across something that I want you to see.
Oh, you brought it.
Yes.
It's a show and tell. What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? What in the shit? Star of the Guardians collectible trading card game. Wow. I thought I knew trading card game.
I want to show you some other stuff first.
Why do you have that?
Also, I found this wedged into the box because I have two boxes of these. one of them was filled all with Star Wars cards, though. So I put those up on there because I was like, I'm not doing this. Right. This is a gift for you.
What do we got here? Oh, Montgomery Scott. Nice. I'm going to start. This is a Star Trek The Next Generation collectible card game card. Montgomery Scott. He's an engineer, chief engineer of the original USS Enterprise, rescued in 2369 after spending 75 years in a transporter pattern buffer aboard the crashed USS Janolan. He has the skills: engineer, astrophysics, honor, miracle worker. His integrity, 7. His cunning, 8. His strength, 3.
And I also had these, which I thought you'd enjoy.
Oh, Rage. I actually played this game.
And I have the little rule book.
Nice.
Combat. Turn sequence. Redraw phase. The regeneration phase. Equip ally phase.
I love the old art on these fucking, like,
moot phase. Combat phase.
The weird ass fucking, like, twisted anatomy art. And, like, yeah. Oh, there's some great shit in here.
We can do draw combat cards. We can select our alphas. And then we can have alpha action.
And
furry porn has ruined me on the term alpha, by the way.
I love the disparity of art skill on these cards too, where it's just like, wow, that looks really good, and then I was like, I could draw that.
so here you go, Star of the Guardians booster packs,
Star of the Guardians collectible trading card game booster packs. I thought I knew all trading card games that came out, but this one. This must have been like a tiny, like, independent, like, self-published game that never came to game stores.
So they do exist on what's it called? On Board Game Geek and a lot of that stuff. I was able to look at a lot of it. eBay, not a trace of it. I saw like two booster packs of it sold on eBay. The art is awful. I was looking at it. It looks very simple though.
What is this? This is fucking bizarre. the best part is that no one can see this, obviously, but the box is just blue. There's no art on the box. On the left and right side of the box, there's pictures of the cards, and they are not appealing.
No.
The starter decks are literally just blue boxes with text. This looks like the most bootleg fucking thing I've ever seen. And holy shit, is the art bad. Oh my god. Oh, this one's not bad. Like, you always find that there's like a couple that are just like, this guy knows how to draw. Jesus, this looks horrible. But you know what? This actually looks very similar to another game, I believe called Superpowers or something along those lines. It was a generic superhero trading card game. And the guy who sits behind me at work actually did art for that game.
You should ask him if he did the art for this one.
No, he would have mentioned it. He specifically, like, he knows all the stuff he did. And he would have, there's no way he would have mentioned that he did art for that sports or superhero game without this one.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm going to.
Oh, here we go. It's far into the future. 17 years ago, a bloody revolution resulted in the overthrow of the Starfire monarchy. Peter Robes, new president of the Galactic Democracy, took over leadership of the galaxy. But the government is corrupt. The democracy is crumbling. It is rumored that the heir to the throne is alive and is searching for people to aid him in his return. You are a warlord. You act as a sheriff over your particular sector of space. However, the warlords have begun jockeying for position to see which one will be powerful enough to take over when the democracy falls. As one warlord, Derek Sagan, put it, if power is lying around loose, someone will pick it up. The time is ripe for expansion. In order to gain control of other planetary systems, you are going to need help. Powerful men and women, including other warlords, or perhaps even the young king himself, can add their personality to enable you to defeat your opponents. Certain magical or religious artifacts may come into your possession, which will aid your cause.
The more planetary systems under your control, the more influence that you wield. Skill and strategy will benefit you, but you'll need luck and the blessing of the Creator in order to emerge victorious.
So, in the research I did on this, Star of the Guardians is actually a series of fantasy novels by Margaret Weiss.
No way!
Yeah, the series consists of five books. They all came out in the 90s. A series of four science fiction space opera novels. Yeah. And she has completed a trilogy of spinoffs concerning the mercenary team Mag47, which is the name of the company that put out this game. It is on there. You have the characters Chris Cyborg, who's actually spelled Chris with X-R-I-S. Formerly a federal agent, Chris, pronounced Chris, was brutally wounded when an investigation into a criminal organization, the Hung, turned out to be an ambush. He left the hospital 65% cyborg. Well, no, he left the hospital 65% robot, which makes him a cyborg. Walked out on his wife and formed a mercenary team, Chris's Commandos.
Also, this is the fucking worst thing I've ever seen.
Also on the team, Harry Luck, Mag47's premier pilot. Harry is well-intentioned but oafish and rather slow on the uptake. Raoul de Beausoleil. Hailing from the planet of Adonis, where beauty is prized above all else, Raoul is known primarily for the size of his wardrobe, his well-maintained hair,
the size of his dick,
that's what I was hoping it would say, nails and physique, and constant use of makeup. There's also the Little One, a diminutive and enigmatic figure, approximately the height of a child. Darlene Mohini, formerly Dalin Rowan, Chris's fellow fed. God, this is so...
Like, the best thing about this is that you saw this in a store at some point, and you were like, this is cool enough to buy.
I don't think I bought that. I think it was given to me.
Star of the Guardians.
So, you know, back in the day, my mom worked for the local... church, and she was in charge of ordering a bunch of like stuff that they would use for raffles and things like that.
This says it was distributed by White Wolf. Is it the same White Wolf? This can't be the same White Wolf.
It probably is.
Fucking way.
It was 95, so White Wolf existed.
They would have had their logo on it then. They had that Wolf Paw logo. There's no way it would have made it without the Wolf Paw logo.
I don't know.
Although it did say it's distributed by. So
yeah. It wasn't created by. So my mom would get like a bunch of shit, like baseball cards and things like that from these distributors who would work primarily with charity.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get like cool Nintendo games, like Nintendo games nobody else would want. But they were great, like Final Fantasy Tactics I got from them.
Sure.
And that game's fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, she got me two boxes of this, and they probably only paid like $5 for it.
Star of the Guardians.
It's pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's a troll. Like if anyone were looking at this in the store, like if you were to see the cards on like the left and the right, you'd just be like, no, put that right back on the shelf.
What makes it interesting to me is how simplistic the rules are on there. There's like, play on a ship. Ship is at -3 defense. You know, like that's it. Like that's all the effect is. I don't know. It could be fantastic. I got the rules in here, right here.
Well, you'll have to play it. I don't know who you're going to find to play with you, but it's not me. Hey, you know what you could do? You could petition Gen Con to do a Star of the Guardians World Championships. They had the Austin Powers TCG World Championships there several times, so I'm sure you could probably get them to do the Star of the Guardians. There's some. I bet at some point some listener is going to be like, that was one of my favorite games. No.
Okay, remember what I said about how this looks simple?
You were wrong. Holy shit, you were very, very fucking wrong.
This is like the Constitution.
That is a massive amount of rules in very small font. Damn, that is atrocious.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
What's worse, that rule set or some of the Swedish candy?
It's definitely better than the Bylars, but it's worse than the... I put it at zoo level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, it's not as... Obviously, it's worse than Plop.
Yes. Plop is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plop.
Weapon cards may be brought into play by the offensive player upon expenditure of the appropriate number of influence and personality points from the requisite pools.
Ooh, requisite pools.
Weapon cards are played onto specific ships or squadrons in play. The cards remain with the ships or squadron and is destroyed if that ship or squadron is destroyed. Weapons cannot be removed from one ship to another or from one squadron to another. There's no limit on the number of weapons that may be added to a particular ship. There you go.
Great.
Yeah. This is, I wonder if I know any of these people on here. Do we know a Grant Crenshaw?
No.
Jeff Grubb?
No.
Jim Herring?
No.
I know Jeff Fuqua.
Yeah, it's true.
We do know Jeff Fuqua.
Yeah.
What do I,
It's Jeff Fuqua.
Fuqua?
Fuqua, yeah.
I wonder if that's Jeff Fuqua.
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
Absolutely not. Not a chance.
No?
No.
No? We don't know that Jeff.
It's 100% not. It's not him.
No? Okay. No. What about, Mike Sakuda?
That name sounds familiar, but no.
Our friends at WOTC.
Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Stephanie Whelan, Stephen Pagel, Todd Jenkins. When the first boxes of Magic come out?
93.
Okay, so this is 2 years after Magic. So Magic couldn't have been that huge in 95.
Magic was gigantic. Magic was huge when it came out. Like, that game came out, people started buying it so fast, they couldn't produce enough cards.
I think 95, yeah, probably was right around that time. Yeah,
Magic almost died a few times in the beginning, but it survived, and has become the juggernaut of the gaming industry we know today.
I don't
today.
Even know how to fold up these rules.
The hardest part of the game is refolding the rule book.
I don't get it. Like, there's so many folds. All right, we're already way over. Is there anything else we need to talk about that we didn't talk about?
I think we've peaked at the star of the Guardians.
It's the star of the Guardians.
It definitely sounds like an 80s cartoon, that's for sure.
Join Chris the Cyborg. Cyborg.
It's so stupid.
I think the stupidest part is that they said he came out 65% cyborg.
Yeah.
No, you're 65% robot, which makes you a cyborg.
Correct.
Yeah. I like how it's very specific, too. It's 65%. Like, not 64%.
Yeah, it's exactly
66%. It's 65% cyborg.
Exactly.
Like you'd say 50% cyborg. It's like, okay, that's about half of him is robot. Okay, that makes that.
Yeah.
You know, that's. Or you say 50% robot. That make, you know, that's fine. But 65%, what constitutes that extra 15% more robot?
I believe that all you would actually need to say is that he came out a cyborg. I don't think the percentage fucking matters.
Well, no, it does. Because, like, let's say you have a robot finger. Does that make you, like.
Yeah,
like,
that makes you a cyborg.
It makes you a cyborg. But, I mean, does that make you a cyborg of note?
No, it just makes you a cyborg.
Yeah.
You're not a heavily modified cyborg. Yeah. Or as they would say in Rifts, a full conversion Borg.
Okay. But I mean, but still, it's like, if you have like a hand missing, okay, that makes you, if you have a robot hand, that makes you kind of cyborg. It makes you a cyborg.
Luke's a cyborg.
Yeah. But does it make you, like, when you say, like, holy shit, look at Luke the cyborg over there? No, you'd say it's like, look at Luke with the robot hand over there. Like, I mean, okay, say you lose both arms. Okay. Yeah, you get robot arms. Okay, you're a cyborg still. Maybe not yet. Okay, so there's got to be a certain percentage where you start referring to someone as a cyborg.
I think any amount of cybernetic replacement makes you a cyborg. If you have a robot hand, you're a cyborg. Like, simple as that. I think that's just the way it is.
I just got a text from a friend that says, "Do you follow Arby's Twitter account? They're using orc trucks in their latest promo."
That's awesome.
I can't end this podcast till I find this out. Okay. I got to go to Arby's Twitter. I don't know if anybody's ever had to say that out loud.
I go to Nihilist Arby's Twitter a lot. We're all going to die. We're just a bunch of decaying meat sacks. Enjoy your Arby's.
Okay, let's see. Arby's Metroid? What? This is weird. I don't see that. I don't see it on here. Hopefully he gets it to me before I end this podcast. I don't know. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. It's Arby's. Arby's is gross. Strong bad. What is this? 2002? Wow, they're really on top of it. They got some Final Fantasy stuff on here, some Metroid,
mm-hmm.
some Death Wish.
Oh yeah, their social media is very meme Note. Heavy.
Okay, he's sending it to me right now.
All right, very good.
Hope this makes it across the table. Okay, what are we seeing? A table here? It is an orc truck. It's an orc truck full of Arby fries.
No shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a very well done orc truck.
I mean, it's made out of fucking
110.
It's made out of fucking Arby's construction paper. So
110, Steve. Not enough DACA.
I think it's pretty impressive.
All right. So go to planetarbitrary.com for planetarbitrary. You can follow me on Twitter at planetarbitrary. You can follow Steve at Arby's Twitter.
Yeah, at Arby's. Follow me at Arby's.
Like our Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. Where it's all just stolen memes. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's how you get the likes on Facebook.
It's all stolen memes. People like them.
Yeah.
People like the bread meme.
Yeah.
It's the greatest meme of all time according to our page. I don't understand it, but
sandwiches
whatever.
Have bread, Anakin.
It's a bread meme. You can also listen to our sister podcast. You can listen to Play On Podcast, which is all about video games. Where Steve and Pat talk about their game of the year. What was your game of the year, Steve?
We haven't done it yet.
Oh, you haven't done it
on
yet?
On Monday.
Are you going to do...
We're going to record on Monday.
Is it going to be Dark Souls 3?
No.
No?
Dark Souls 3 came out in 2016.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the new Dark Souls one, then?
There isn't one at the moment.
No? Are they doing like a Mario Dark Souls or something?
There's a remaster coming out. It's going to be on Switch, so...
Oh, well, maybe that's what it's all about. Did you see the racist Marios from the Mario Hat thing, the new Mario game? It's like he puts on a sombrero and he becomes like Mexican.
Yeah, I don't think that's racist at all. He's in a fucking Mexican world, and there's Dia de los Muertos people, and he puts on a sombrero,
Steve,
and a poncho.
Steve, I know it's not racist, but I'm a white guy, so I can't say that, because that makes me more racist if I say, that's not racist.
Well, you're racist.
I know. Whatever. I'm used to it at this point. You Play On Podcast. There's also Deconstructed Daycare, which is all about...
You were going to call it Daddy Daycare.
I was going to call it Daddy Daycare after the Eddie Murphy movie, the late 2000s, which is all about watching kids' cartoons and then going like, what does this all mean? I don't understand. I'm old. And you also have Weebtown, which is a Twitch show, right? Or is it a YouTube show?
Twitch/YouTube show. Yeah.
Where Steve and Young Giuseppe play Japanese import games and say things like kawaii and desu.
Des.
What about the U at the end?
There's no E. Don't pronounce it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, technically, if you look at the word when you see it written in Japanese, there's no U at all. So,
well, I don't know these things. I don't read that moon language. Hopefully, Pat.
Sounds like Joe needs to obankyo his Nihongo.
Aso. Steve, and the best way to help out the podcast is like and subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube. For some odd reason, I put it on YouTube, and people demand that I put it on YouTube.
They demand it.
So, Steve, until next time.
Plop.
Game classy.